Hello. Hey, everybody. I am doing this solo, not intentionally, but we've had a little glitch behind the scenes. And I, at least, at the very least, want you to hear from me. If we make a mistake, we at least own it. And I'm not sure what the mistake was, but for some reason, there was no meeting on my calendar. So I don't know what occurred. And we've had a little shift behind the scenes. So I am going to do a bit of a solo answering some questions for you so that at the very least you've heard from me. And I had some questions come in from someone from our support team who wasn't able to be here and potentially is not in the Facebook group. So just a little bit of a tip on. If that's you too, we can't take a lot of questions there. What we're hoping is that as soon as we open up the engagement, the community inside of the app, that we can use those because you won't have to go to Facebook. And I know some of you just really don't like it. Totally understand that. So, I'm going to answer this question. I'll answer a couple of more that are a little more broad-based and not necessarily from an individual, but things that we are hearing. And we will post this for you in the Stronger Calls and then work on making sure that you've got everything you need to access what's coming up. So, this is from Linda. She says, I'm a new member settling into your program. Questions concern interval training. Last summer, I tried Stacy Sims SIT training, that stands for those of you that don't know, for sprint interval training. And for a period of 3 weeks, I did it with running as fast as I could for brief intervals. Enjoyed the process, was able to progress to running more intervals before becoming exhausted. I did no more than two or three sessions per week for each week that I did that. I gained approximately 5.5 pounds, which was most visibly around my middle. I'm sure not the desired effect. I'm still trying to get rid of those pounds. I heard somewhere that if my cortisol is high and I do interval training, can have the opposite effect to the desirable. I did try one of your interval videos last week, and it was nowhere near as strenuous as the SIT trainings. Certainly, depending on your conditioning level, you will find that. So we all kind of have this perception or rating of perceived exertion. Somebody will find, I'm at a 10 out of a 10 walking at 4 miles per hour. Somebody else will find that's my recovery pace, right? So completely understand what all of you to feel just exactly the same, and it doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. Still, I'm hesitant to commit to them. And I'm going to read the rest of the question and then I'll come back and break this answer down. On a related note, I enjoy cross-country skiing in the winter, and this is the year the conditions have been very good for it. When I'm laboriously climbing hills on the skis, my heart rate goes up into the 150s, then it comes down a bit while I am on the flatter trail or going downhill. If this happens repeatedly, does that count as interval training? Great questions and great awareness. And ironically, I've just finished two podcast episodes coming up in future weeks about the recovery capacity, the ability to do high intensity interval training. And first of all, it is very subjective. I'll give you the cheater notes, but I'd love for you to listen to those podcasts and share them as well. But here's the deal. You and I are very different, and we cannot say, just because you're in perimenopause or just because you're postmenopause, you should do X, Y, and Z. We do have a framework. It is based on here's what would be most important to you if you feel good doing it. Those are the words that have to come with it because we know muscle loss may be accelerated during this period of time, because we know bone density may be accelerated during this period of time, because we know strength and power begin losses begin to accelerate during this period of time, or we know that loss of fast twitch muscle fiber begins to accelerate, the loss begins to accelerate. So we know that, and then we framework it And we say this would be ideal. And we also look at here's what's typically the framework, because we know fatigue can be a greater factor during perimenopause when things are up and down. It's not true for all women. Some women post-menopause, even though hormones have stabilized, are really struggling with sleep deprivation and/or caregiving and stress, keeping them awake night and not getting full rest. So recovery is going to be, a lot harder for them, and we have to factor that in as well. That said, I want to come back to this. We're the study of one. Your data, Linda, shows clearly high intensity interval training is not your jam right now. So you gained 5.5 pounds in doing this, for a few weeks. Is that it? That's a lot, right? And that is a clear indication that potentially your stress response, your capacity for recovery, it may not be that you can't tolerate it, you can't do very well. You sounded like you actually did. You began to enjoy it. It wasn't that you were miserable doing it or felt like it was awful. And we don't, by the way, have to feel that way in order for it to be giving us the results that say, don't do this, stop it. So we want to look at the outcome for sure. You should feel good doing it, but just feeling good doing it can be misleading. And one of the reasons is hormones. So we create endorphins. You've heard about them for years. But beyond that, we create neurotransmitting hormones, dopamine, more so for men, but we get it too. And serotonin, we get oxytocin from hugs and holding hands and sex and petting our dogs. If those neurotransmitters, dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin are up, cortisol actually cannot be. But if we're tearing down muscle, we have more cortisol. We are going to be in a breakdown instance. But it is most likely that you are causing not only a breakdown, but you're causing a surge of blood sugar to try to respond. The adrenals are overtaxed because of maybe life stressors, or it could be you're just in such a dramatic hormone change that adding that stressor is just too much. So it's when chronic stress is present, and it can be hard to tell. It can take, do an experiment, right? So that you know that. And your response is opposite. So really decreasing your level, and I would not say just because it's there that you would say, okay, this is what I want to do. It's not necessary.
Whoops.
Hey, can you guys mute? Thanks. So it's not necessarily that just because it's there that you want to say, okay, I want to do it. So inside of the membership, you'll have HIIT, and you will have in a cheat sheet, you might have long, slow duration hiking or exercise. It doesn't mean that we take up. So you got a lot of things in the buffet. You don't necessarily want to eat everything in the buffet. So you want to pick and choose just like you would if you were at a potluck. So want to
Yeah,
make
I
sure.
gotta change. I'm sorry.
Please mute, guys. Please mute yourself, okay, when you come in. Thank you so much. Super important. So, hey, if you are finding I didn't get great results, I would not come back to HIIT until we bring that cortisol level down enough where you feel like, okay, I can get rid of that now. Because if you keep coming back to something similar, and here's what we do know, that when you're ready again, HIIT being really high intensity, sprint interval, HIIT, the alphabet soup doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that we are talking about 30 seconds or less getting to breathless, complete recovery, and then doing it again. That's what we're talking about. That's it. And you can do 4 to 6 and just keep it simple and clean, and you're going to benefit just as much as if you keep going and add another one and add another one and add another one. You know, it's that escalation that gets a person addicted to drugs, right? You are addicted. If no longer this doesn't work anymore, now I have to do this. You actually don't with interval training. You could do 4 to 6 intervals. Instead, focus on, am I going a little faster? Am I able to get breathless by, running at a slightly 0.2 mile faster than I was and getting a little bit further up the hill? If you're climbing that way or on an incline on a treadmill, it's another percent of incline. That's a great way to do it as well. So if you don't get breathless, doing an interval training that you tried, throw it away, try another one. It's not truly your HIIT or your sprint. And realize that some of the things that might truly get you breathless, squat jumps, split jumps, you may not be able to do potentially because of joints or ligaments or prolapse or no cartilage degeneration. So we are all kind of in a sweet spot. We've got to find what kind of movement will it take for me to do it? And what kind of movement do I like and will I do regularly? Because miserable is not have to be a part of the deal. We want to focus on what really works. So yes, it's true. It may be cortisol, but really it may be simply your inflammatory response, and often cortisol can be related, but the IL-6, the inflammatory cytokines, can be a part of that. And so you can measure, you could do a lab test, but pretty much you've got the results already staring at you. Now we know let's decrease it. So we know that walking actually has the result of decreasing cortisol. It doesn't increase it. And it is getting dark here, so I'm just going to move. So if you get dizzy easily, I'm probably going to spin you around a little bit. So you might want to look away just for a moment. But it's important that you realize that we know walking can actually decrease cortisol as opposed to increasing it. And now that probably matters. If you are walking outside, it's going to have a greater impact on decreasing your cortisol level than if you were in a on a treadmill downstairs in your basement with a low ceiling. At least that would be my own personal account, and it makes a huge difference. So loving your environment, or at least looking forward to the activity, is important. Putting some music together with it, maybe having some interaction with family members or friends also could be a big factor that would matter for you. And I'm going to have everybody mute. And sorry about that. We kind of scrambled last minute. So that's not your fault, but I'm going to mute you if you have it. So I didn't click mute everybody on entrance. So that was my fault. But that's where I would go. And I would focus on doing that as well as strength training. And if you did very little breathlessness for a while, you're not necessarily going to lose your conditioning and realize that every time you do resistance training, you do a little interval training. Your heart rate goes up for about a minute while you're doing that, and then it comes down and you recover completely. You're going to maintain, you're not going to lose that. And once you're kind of coming back down, and I would look at what are you doing for recovery? How's your sleep? Quality and quantity both matter. How is your nutrition? Are you eating enough, particularly close to workouts, so you're able to recover? That's not always crucial, as long as you're eating regularly, meaning I don't think any longer that you absolutely have to eat before you exercise or that you have to eat within a short window after. But I also think that there are a lot of women who are over 40 who have skipped or skimped and dieted since 1985. And if we're eating too little, we will probably benefit by bumping or bookending our workouts with a little pre-exercise fuel of some kind and then post meals. If you're struggling to maintain your muscle and/or you're gaining fat, your body is kind of sending me a signal that you're just not taking care of me. So I'm going to store every little nugget right here where you don't want it. And it's non-intuitive, but if you eat more, you often will lose more. So you've got to look at how you might be starving your body from the results that it needs. So in terms of the cross country, and this might inspire a whole lot of questions, I hope that it does. But in terms of the cross-country skiing, there's a couple things. If you go hiking, you're going to experience the same thing. You're probably going to be out of breath on the way up and maybe have to pause. But that is really the question. I wouldn't look at your heart rate as much as I would look at, are you breathless? Like, are you getting breathless? That would qualify as interval training, yes. But it's also, this is just life. Do you love it? That's my second question. And there's a joy factor that is not showing up in your HRV or your heart rate. And this is not all science, it is also art. So if you love it, you're just playing life. If you're going skiing for the purpose of interval training, then you would want to plan it and say, I'm going to sprint, for 60 seconds right now, and then I'm going to slow down and recover. But if you're just going out to do the activity itself, I wouldn't worry so much about where your heart rate goes as much as if you get breathless, then sure, it was an interval and you should recover, in order to go further. And you probably have to, because truly the definition of high intensity interval training or sprint interval training synonymously used here as to define 30 seconds or less, getting breathless and then complete recovery between, that's where you get it. But sometimes it doesn't have to work that way. You do the interval training or you do other training so that you can go and enjoy the thing you like. And then you don't necessarily count or calculate or think about it. You're just winning from additional activity and loving it. So I hope that that was helpful. And that was for Linda's question. What I would love is if anybody else has a follow-up question, and the chat is very quiet, so not even one question from that. So Katie, Linda, Julie, Valita, Barb, thanks for joining me. Jerry, Casa, if you have any questions, please drop them into the chat and I will answer them, whether related to this last question or not. And I will answer your question. Happy to do that. So the way coaching calls go, remember, is you ask questions and I answer them. That was one from someone who sent that in advance. So if you've got it, please let me know what your question is. And we will potentially wrap up a little bit earlier tonight. I have to have a little bit of commute time across town. So I need to factor in that piece. And I won't let too much stagnant time go by. So if you don't have any questions, you just came to hang out with me, I'm going to ask you to unmute and I will ask you personally what your question is. Anybody want to go first? I can call on you. Julie, do you have a question? Katie, do you have a question? Unfortunately for you, if you are here, we're a small group, and the reason is I'm not quite sure what happened, but disappearing from my schedule was the regular link to our Zoom calls. So a little bit of last minute scrambling. So if you're listening to the replay, you are potentially disappointed, and I apologize for that, but you're also getting the opportunity to hear answers to questions that have come in. So, question from Katie says, my entire thoracic spine is fused since age 17 due to scoliosis correction. So, mobility moves geared toward the spinal, and often any parts attached to the spine are super challenging. Can't do them without a bit of pain during and after. And I suspect that I'm just immobile from a lifetime of not naturally engaging those parts, like someone with an articulated spine. Yeah, with the exception of rotation moves, which are hard for me, is my inflexibility something that will get easier with time and repetition, or is it something that just is impossible, perhaps dangerous for me? I would suspect the latter, not so much dangerous, but it is there because there's fusion. You're not going to have the articulation and the rotation. What I would suggest for you is in the area of your spine where you do have mobility. So your tailbone, your lumbar spine, moving your pelvis forward and back to anterior and posterior tilt and lateral tilting, that you're really well focused on that and maintaining the motion through your shoulders, through your hips, hip flexors, your hamstrings, piriformis, that all of those you pay attention to and kind of you look at, risk reward, for anything. We do it for exercise, we do it for movement. And I would say in your place, when you were 17 and today still, that probably was the best possible future for you. And so you've gotten a huge win from that. It's just that it came with, there were some cons to it. So the con, potentially you don't have that mobility, that range of motion. You move a little bit differently. Doesn't mean it's worse. It just means this is what you need to do right now. And it's not necessarily a life limiter. So number one, I would not put yourself in those situations where you're trying to work on spinal mobility. I would leave those out and I would focus on the other things and really look at how do I balance that need for stability that I have, because that straightened down my spine, and probably spared me a lot of pain, and a way that it would have grown negatively otherwise, and look at it as a blessing. And instead, focus on other areas where you can control it. So, I don't necessarily look at it as dangerous, but I think it's going to be futile. So, it's not going to be helpful for you. I do think you want as much range of motion in those muscles as possible, but we're talking more retraction and protraction around your rhomboids and pulling them forward and back as opposed to rotating and flexing and extending. But work on your strengths in other places would be my recommendation. I hope that was helpful. And it's been probably a really long time, but if you have the opportunity to, work with a physical therapist or have over the years, depending, and knock on wood, if you haven't had the need to, you're probably doing a lot of things really right. But if you have the opportunity to work with a physical therapist on, what would be the ideal, and or if you go back and regularly do an X-ray or MRI of where's the curvature, how are you doing? That would be the opportunity to ask, what would you recommend? In terms of outcome, what would you like to see next time if I could improve this and know that I was going to have the best longevity outcome, I would ask that question while I was there and had them. They may not know what exercises specifically to do, but if they know the outcome, then you come back to here to a medical exercise specialist or to a strength and conditioning coach who's worked with someone who can help you get that. That's what I would focus on. Jerry said, no question, just stating, sorry that I joined late. I'm at swimming lessons with my granddaughter. Well, it's okay. So we created late. So you're just right on time to the party. Thanks. Linda says, regarding the longer strength videos in the 4 week total reset, when you are doing the pigeon pose at the end and you mention doing it on the vibration plate, what mode level should it be on? Thanks. So you mean the longevity? I think the longevity snacks maybe is what you're referring to, that or cool down, but whichever. So when I recommend that just periodically, putting it on the lowest level, your after warm up muscle activation is on. So the highest level generally toward weight loss, your hertz at, 20 to 30 is ideal for bone density, but we're just after turning it up for muscle activation. So your first to your second are probably going to be best for that. It's more like get more circulation. You're holding a stretch. You're not holding tension necessarily for muscular contraction. Jerry said, I'll listen to the replay. Might have questions after that. Usually do and jump on a call. I forget them all. All right. Julie said, frustrated with my A1C, staying up higher than I'd like, trying to figure out possible causes and solutions. I'm careful with carbs and really restrict sugar, trying to further limit. Could it be related to not allowing enough recovery time or my stress level? Might be related to stress level, certainly. And depending on your history and genetics, and if you haven't done a genetic test, I'm not necessarily arguing for one, but sometimes, so let me grab this. Taking something, that includes a fatty acid can be helpful. So I take omega-3s regularly. Omega-3s turn off the faucet for inflammation. Omega-6s turn it on in foods that we eat that have omega-3. Almost all have both, but higher levels of omega-6. So go figure, it's actually hard to eat your way out of an omega-3 to 6 ratio that's poor, and it is related directly to inflammation. That might be helpful. So I know through my genetic testing, the omega-3 is okay, but lipolytic acid and fats are also recommended for me. So there may be something more to taking a supplement that may help you. Decreasing sugar, yes, can be helpful, but also just decreasing overall stress load. And I think sometimes we think cutting out things, high quality carbohydrates, resistant starches, we don't want to totally eliminate those. So you want to look at overall all courses or all sources of stress. Is it emotional? Is it exercise? Is it lack of sleep? Is it, any void in supplement that you might have, any deficit, or in a smaller scale, it would be any insufficiency of supplements. Is that problematic for you? So there is that. And reducing sugars, but to the point where we're talking sweets and treats and extra sugars, not necessarily those sugars that are naturally existing in fruit. If you're having it with a meal, especially after, so it's your carbohydrate late in the meal is going to be most helpful. I don't know if you've ever done a CGM, used a continuous blood glucose monitor. Sometimes that can give you an idea of what is it that I do that spikes my blood sugar. And it's sometimes very shocking to learn and realize, because there is no running from this data that you have on your upper arm telling you your blood sugar is spiking or dropping considerably. And actually both can have a result of high inflammation rates, because we've caused the inflammation, we caused the crash. That up and down can wreak havoc as well. So I hope that has been a little bit helpful, not a real conclusive answer, and I'm sorry I can't necessarily offer one, but I would look at all causes of stressors. Belita said, I'm doing the Stronger Three, but a slightly slower pace because of pre-existing injuries. I think I shift to the cafe membership sometime this week, planning to repeat Stronger Three with a goal of doing the strength workouts closer together, completion in 12 weeks. Sound like a good option? So, yes, if you are feeling better and the predictability of repeating a program that it's not certainly something that should make you nauseous because you haven't done it that many times, right? You did two workouts, you did each of them twice and then moved on. It's like a first date and a second date. There's got to be something more. So going back or cycling to it can be nice, especially Valita in this instance where pre-existing injuries, or if it were pre-existing fatigue was a problem. Going back to repeat the same program gives you an idea of, last time I did this, this felt different. You're able to compare because you're comparing apples to apples. Whereas if you go into a different program, you may still get a sense of how this feels, but you won't know. Is it because this program is a little more taxing anyway? But if you're doing the same one, you have kind of a knowledge base. So I like the repetition. I think it's great. Linda said it was the cool down. So yes, and you could put that anywhere. You could do a pigeon pose in the middle of the day, but any stretch that you do could be more valuable if you are doing it right there and you have this little tool, use it. I mean, it would be one of those things. I think right now we're all also being told, think about how you could use AI. Think about should you try chat because will it shortchange or cut down on the work? I think the same thing is there a way you could amplify your results if you did what you're about to do on the power plate? If you're about to do a yoga pose for balance, what if you stood on the power plate instead? If you are going to do a stretch or you want to just lie on the floor to release your lower back, do you want to do it on the power plate? So there's lots of ways that you can use it. So I would definitely do it and keep it on the lower level because you're just after. All you need is turning it on. So we want that lymphatic flow to be enhanced. Katie said, thanks for the insight into my spine. Very helpful. I was feeling frustrated with not being able to move correctly. And I appreciate knowing that I actually shouldn't. Well, and maybe we reframe that and say, you actually are, right? I mean, you're doing everything right, but trying to force yourself to do something that wasn't intended to happen, that just, frustrates for no good reason. So I would, leave that out as much as possible. My brother was just here. They had been on a mission trip for 3 weeks and flew into the airport close to my house. So they had parked here. So I picked them up last night. He's had a rare disease. His spine is also fused in two places because he, as a male, you don't hear about this nearly as often, but he was on prednisone high doses for a very long time. And they would wean him off and he'd get sick again. So it lasted years. And, one day a sneeze, fractured his spine. So he too has it. But again, I tell this story because they are, now retired. They've been traveling. They traveled for 39 hours by the time I picked them up at the airport last night. And they were in Istanbul. They were in, where else? They flew through London. They did a mission trip. They were in Africa, went on a safari. Led Vacation Bible School with people on this mission. And I mean, they're doing a lot of things. There's no limits, right? And yet he doesn't have a lot of mobility, but yet, has vowed, I'm going to still move. So you may think there's some limitations, but it's really, in some cases, it's an asset that gave you years back on a life and different years, different kind of years than you might have had otherwise. So glad you have it. Julie said, appreciate your thoughts. Have been considering a CGM, but missed the challenge. So might talk to my doctor about that option. Yes, definitely. And your CGMs, if you do it with us, we are just starting the second half of that. So if you order really quickly, you could potentially do it with us for the last couple of weeks if you wanted to. And if not, that's okay too. You can always use us and use the CGM challenge. You have the PDF there inside of the membership and follow the guideline and ask for support inside of the group because almost any of our members who've gone through it can offer some insight into going through. So you have that accountability, which can be really helpful. And again, I think for anybody who's worn one, it's offered a lot of insight that even just wearing one once is giving you months and months, of here are changes that I can make. And this is going to improve my health considerably. So hope that was helpful. Okay, guys, I will take one more question and then I'm going to wrap up. I've got to make a little trip across town. I'm sorry about the delay. For those of you who are listening to the replay, particularly. If you were trying to get in today, did not have a link, I apologize for that. We'll have that fixed by next week. So hang tight and we'll get you in. For those of you who scrambled and got on live with us, thank you so much for being here. No last minute questions. So I'm going to hop off unless somebody wants to take these last 10 seconds to drop something in. Okay. I think we got you. So it is the beginning of a new month. So it is the first Monday of February. You're in month two of a brand new year. It's still early. Choose something special this month. And you know, what will you do with it? It doesn't have to be big. I'll share what I'm doing just to give you an idea. In January, I committed 10 minutes a day to walking. Much of it was on a treadmill because it was super cold here, but walking with a weighted vest. And I could do more, but 10 minutes was all I committed to. So I walked a little bit more generally on the treadmill if that's what I was doing or outside, but I took it off after 10 minutes. That's all I had to do. So easy, right? And you might think, well, ordinarily we should set the bar really high and I should try to do more. But if you set it really low and you let yourself be successful mentally, you will hit it every time. And we often move the finish line before we ever get started. We make it so hard that we have to do so much. And, you know, probably women are more notorious for doing this than men. We add to the list while we're still halfway on it. Oh, I could do this. There's something satisfying about adding to a list. But when it's still there and you've kind of done everything that you possibly can, not so great. So I got through that. Some days I did walk 15 minutes. Some days, one day I walked outside for 40, not intentionally, but I was out with the dog on a nice day. It just happened and it felt fine. And so in February, what I'm doing is the same 10 minutes, but this time every minute I'm increasing by 1% grade. So it's a little more significant, but again, that's it. That's all I have to do. So I could get off and not do it then. Now I kind of am committed to having to do the treadmill for at least 10 minutes just because I can't hardly increase by 1% grade every minute naturally if I'm outside. So this is not my cross-country ski day. This has got to be training. But again, it's doable. It's easy, it's short, and I can fit that in. So you don't have to bite off a lot. And sometimes I've done the training. I'm doing the strength training. I might be doing a little bit of HIIT, but this is just a little bit extra. It's just a few extra steps with a little bit more intensity this month. But doing something small consistently can be a big differentiator. And if you get feedback, like Linda, whose first question I answered today, it's not working and you're gaining weight in a short time, it's just telling you, put it down. And that's not quitting. That's just wisely saying, I was conducting a scientific experiment and the result I got said, this is probably what you need to do. So just follow it. Just listen to the data. It's all it is. It's the feedback you're getting right now is data, meaning you can pivot anytime you want to. All right, everybody. Have a great month. Thank you so much for being here. For those of you that didn't make it, we'll make sure you get there next time.